Grace, did you know that you cannot hum while holding your nose?
I did not know that.
Go ahead,
I want,
try. Everybody
I
wants to watch
know.
you try.
Nope. Nope. No, you do it. Do it. Prove it to me. Prove it. I don't believe you.
No,
Oh,
that's not fair.
okay.
Did you know a group of porcupines is called a prickle?
I did not know that. Where, when did this become a random fact show? Let's talk.
Do you
Let's
not
run.
see, this is the problem with our relationship. You don't listen to me. I told you last week that I was going to start giving a fun random fact at the beginning of every show, and you were all good with it. Now all of a
You
sudden,
said it might only last for one episode, and I was just
yes, it
hanging on
might.
to that belief.
In one ear, out the other with you. I can't, you need to start listening to me, or this is not going to work out.
Okay, I want to hear what you have to say next.
Right, I'm going to start the show. Just pay attention to what I say, okay?
Okay.
Hold on, I gotta get ready.
Prickle.
All right,
Are
I'm
you gonna
ready.
prickle?
No prickles. Listen, Grace, we both went to World's End this past weekend, and now I feel like I got hit by a bag of bricks. Let's talk about all the fun on episode 66. I'm Eric Idiot Renner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party. All right, listen up. I have one more fun fact for you, but it's related to the show. So
Okay.
everybody listening that ran and finished the 100K at World's End, all right? You got a beautiful buckle, correct? On said buckle, it says highballer. I don't know if everybody knows what that means, but I just got asked the question before the show, so I got the answer straight from the race director.
Okay, I have never finished. I'm 0 for 3 for this race, so I did not know that. What's the answer?
If you get the 100K buckle, a highballer is a lumberjack that has a reputation to get a job done real quick. So if you want a job done in a hurry, you hire a highballer. That's why highballer was on the buckle.
Yes, this is 100K that you have to hustle through
Right.
in order to finish. It typically has like a right around a 55% finish rate. And a lot of that is just because of the cutoffs. And usually it's later on in the race. A lot of people are kind of it kind of the race allows you to get through a good chunk of it, and then the end it drops the hammer down a little bit, much like a highballer.
Yeah, and we are lucky enough to have two runners that very much hurried through the race this past weekend.
Yeah, we have so much to talk about. So I feel like we just bring them on and we talk about it as one big happy family.
Well, I guess if you want them on, I guess that's what we got to do, huh?
Yeah, you need to do all the things that I say. Correct. Finally, we figured this out.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and add them to the show. Welcome, Trevor and Katie, and Trevor's wife, Hannah. So, Trevor won the 100K in a smoking fast time of 11:39. I mean, I thought he was going to do it faster, but he disappointed me a little
Of course.
And Katie came, brought home the female champion of the 50K in a time of 6:12. So, congratulations, Katie. Katie, was the win, were you going for the win in this race originally?
Yes. Yeah. I've done six races this year and I've won five. So I go into every race hoping and wanting to win. Yeah. I'm very competitive. Yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Katie, have you run the World's End course before?
Ever. First time
Yeah.
I got accepted from the wait list 17 days ago or 16 days before the race and just went for it. Yeah.
Fabulous. All right. And Trevor, you've done this course before, right?
Yeah, I did the race in 2020. I did the Triple Crown, or in 2022, sorry.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So you've been out there before. Yep. You've finished it before. And then were you going for the big W this time? I mean, you had a pretty great pacer.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wanted to win for sure. But pretty much just started out with the idea of like making it through and try and smile the whole day. Be smooth and fast.
Fabulous. Smooth and fast is a good motto. Okay.
Run, and running his own race.
And running my, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important in this one. Okay, Eric, ask all the questions. I'm going to throw mine in at the end.
Oh, I really don't. I thought I was going off of you tonight.
Oh, fabulous. I'll go first. Okay. So, Katie, first off, can you tell us, just kind of walk us through your day? Like, you wake up in the morning, are you feeling good? Is your tummy grumbly? Like, walk us through your day a little bit, what you thought about the course, what you ate, what was your strategy, did you enjoy it, all the things.
Yeah, so like best day ever. So I actually woke up, I camped the night before at Pioneer Campgrounds. The funny part was I woke up and I never really camped by myself, and I went to roll up like my mat sleeping pad, and I realized I could have put air into it. So that was the start of the day. And yeah, I mean, honestly, I got really lost at mile like 4.5, and I lost about 10 minutes right there. But like nutrition wise, like I'm somebody that like I eat early and I eat often. And that really seemed to work for me. I do a lot of Martin's, a lot of scratch gels. And I just started doing the spring energy, like applesauces, kind of coupled with also some like scratch bars and scratch Rice Krispie treats. So I like probably every like 20 minutes, honestly, I eat a lot when I run. And yeah, no, the day went, besides getting lost, the day really went exactly how I had planned it. I felt really strong the whole way. I actually finished and I had like so much energy finishing even.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, I know, right? Which is how you want it to be.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty high energy person anyways, but yeah, no, besides getting like epically lost, which I would, at that, when I got lost at mile 4.5, I was third overall, first female. I dropped down about 25th overall, fifth female when I got lost. So I had to make up like a lot of ground. And I will say during that time for about 27 miles, I really thought, you know, well, this is it. Like I, you know, and I, only myself to blame, really only myself to blame. But it was so beautiful and so fun. And yeah, I felt like I stuck to my plan of salt and nutrition and hydration pretty well. And it really worked for me. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I want every single athlete I coach to listen to what you just said, which is eat early and often and lots and lots and lots of food. It's an eating contest with some rocks and roots in between, right?
Eat constantly. Yeah. It does seem to work for my body. Just, you know, I think I metabolize stuff pretty quickly, especially when you're climbing mountains. So, yeah, I think it's sometimes surprising. I think it surprises people just how much I eat when I run. Yeah, I actually, in most of my race photos, I'm always holding food because <that's laughs> I really hold food almost constantly just to remind myself just to keep intaking it, which sucks when I fall because then my hands are like claws, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you said you finished with a lot of energy. I assume that means you're going for the 100K next year, right?
So David pretty much said that he'd be very disappointed if I didn't go for the 100K. When he saw me finish, I mean, if you guys see me finish a race, like you would understand it. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen so much. Like, I just love it so much. And I mean, it comes out of me, like the adrenaline. I cry. I have so many endorphins. So I think he was a little taken aback. And then he was like, you know, I think that's a 100K person right there. And we'll see. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I can do what Trevor did. So we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see. So, I mean, we're going to get over to Trevor pretty soon because I'm going to convince you that you should do the 100K. And part of it has to do with the course itself. So what was your favorite part of the course? You might not know the names of everything, but if you describe it, we'll tell you what it is.
So I think maybe climb up to High Knob, is that right?
You didn't go to High Knob. That's on the 100K course. It's not on the 50K course.
There was one climb that was very challenging with a gorgeous view, maybe a little bit early on.
Probably Canyon Vista.
Maybe Canyon Vista. Yeah, that was
more good. Or is it the one before that, after the Butternut Loop?
I don't know.
It's one of those two. I mean,
you know, and also some of it's just such a blur to me. And I heard people like saying like names and like, you know, I don't, all of it is.
Oh, High Rock, Kara said. Kara said it's called High Rock.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Fabulous. It's a very pretty course.
It was a very, very pretty course. Yeah. I felt very lucky, honestly. Yeah. Go run it.
It's beautiful. And that is one of the ways that I'm going to convince you to do the 100K, because in the 100K, you get to go to High Knob, and that's not on the 50K course. And it is one of the highlights of the day.
Okay.
So we'll hear from Trevor in his day and see if we'll change your mind by the end of the episode. Maybe you can stick with, I don't know. That's totally fine. That is an acceptable answer, but we'll at least give you an informed, I don't know. So Trevor, tell us a little bit about your day. How did it go? How did you feel? What was your strategy? What happened?
Pretty much they started out just trying to stay away from being in the lead at the beginning. So we stayed in like fourth or fifth place through the first aid station. And the goal was to get to Soane's Pond in about an hour and 46 minutes or the Onion Hole aid station.
Yeah.
And we made that happen, got in and out of there, and then made the move to World's End. And that's when I actually started catching people. I think I left Onion Hole in fifth or sixth place. And by the time we got to World's End, we'd all bunched up, and just Justin, who was in first place, was already up the climb the Canyon Vista. And when we all got there in a bunch, but then I left pretty much in second and powered the whole way up to the top and made it to Canyon Vista in second. And then pretty much from Canyon Vista into Coal Mine Road, where you come down and get into the waterfalls where the ladder is and you climb up. Yeah. That's where I caught Justin, and then pretty much ran right into High Knob. And that's when I met up with Eric.
Nice. That's a hard.
I felt pretty good almost the whole way. I didn't really have any lows. I thought I was having some lows, but Eric is reassuring me that I wasn't having any lows.
It's all it takes. There's somebody to tell you you're not.
He wasn't moving like he was having a low.
Felt like it mentally, but.
Yeah, he put in a lot of training for this, and he put in very vert heavy training for this. Yeah. About as heavy as you can possibly do leading up to World's End. That was his training, his vert and lots of it. Seeing him move up the mountains, like, I don't know, it's still amazing to me. I've never been to that point where I could run the hills of every climb of World's End, and that's what these guys were doing. So it's amazing.
Yeah, and even some of the flats are hard to run, like that section with the ladder. Like, it's just kind of on the edge, and it's a little tricky to move quickly through that section.
Yeah, like pretty much the whole plan was there's no reason to run any faster than 10:50 splits. That was the course record splits. Mm-hmm. If I could just maintain that, I could recover on the downhills, recover on the flats. I wouldn't have to run as fast, but it would require me to run as much of the vert as possible. So I figured I'd train as vert heavy as I could, put pressure on everybody on the climbs, because a lot of the percentage of people that run fast down and on the flats is higher than the percentage of people that want to run uphill. You know what I mean? Like, most people want to power hike, recover. They want to eat on the hills. Yeah. So when I put the pressure on the hills, it makes them run twice as hard coming down and on the flats. And if you just maintain that smooth, steady pace, that's pretty much was the goal of the day.
Yeah. And there's some douchey hills that are easy to give yourself reasons in your head to say, oh, I'm just going to hike this. But if you can run them at a steady pace, you can really make some good time up them.
Yeah. So I paced him from High Knob to Brunnerdale. So 15 miles. And he actually had to check in on me several times and ask if I was all right. Like, shut up, dude. Just do your thing.
That's great. And you had Marisa, from Brunnerdale?
No, I took Josh Boyer from Brunnerdale to the finish. Yeah, Josh and I went to the finish. Yep.
Who was Marisa pacing? I forget.
Well, she's helping me most of the time.
Yeah.
After I finished, she went back and then paced. I actually don't remember who it was. It was on it. She made a post about it, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, great crew to have. And Josh Boyer, another great pacer to have. So a solid crew. And Hannah, you kept everything rolling. I think we heard you had about 10 minutes total in aid stations.
Now, I want everybody to listen to that. Over 11 hours and 39 minutes. Okay. And it doesn't matter if you were 15 hours or 17 hours or 19 hours. They had 10 minutes total. So even anybody that's slower, you could have 15, 20 minutes. That's still amazing. Mm-hmm. But 10 minutes. So how many aid stations were there? I didn't even think of that.
There was 6 crewed aid stations, and I only stopped at 2 uncrewed aid stations. I just stopped at Coal Mine Road to fill up a bottle just because the distance is so far. I knew the crux of the race is kind of in between Coal Mine and High Knob. Like, getting there 100% healthy is as best as you can, I mean, to mile 35. So I knew I'd have to stop there. I filled a bottle, drank it, refilled it, and then proceeded on. Then the next one I had to stop at was the one before Fern Rock, the gate, just the water drop at the gate. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is, right before Fern Rock. Yeah, Josh more or less wanted to stop. And I was like, well, if he's going to stop, I'm just going to get some water too quick. I didn't really, at that point of the race, didn't need it. But
Yeah,
but they had 6 crewed aid stations. So that's under 2 minutes per aid station averaged out. And Hannah, that's why we wanted you to at least come on and show your freaking face, because, I mean, that's just as hard to handle as running the race itself, if not harder, to make sure that you don't have any hiccup, because one hiccup could cost 1, 2, up to 5 minutes, you know, if you forget to get something out of the car or this and that. So how did you guys just have it talk about it before the race of how things are going to be? And, you know, I know, Hannah, you've done it before. Is it just you guys are pretty smooth at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I've been crewing him since he started running, so I got an advantage there. But the night before, he always tries to tell me the whole day. And I'm like, dude, I just want to hear it like right before bed. Like, I have a list I go through. Navigation's a hard part for me more than I know how to crew him. Navigation's what I always worry about. But yeah, so we have a list. I write down, I say, what time are you expected? And what are you going to want? And so he has most things already labeled for me, which is very convenient, and the numbers and everything. But I will always be 30 minutes at least, or an hour before what he gives me, what time is the earliest possible, because this time he was 30 minutes ahead of everything. Mm-hmm. And always have extra stuff that I know he'll want, because he's my husband. I have the advantage to know what he wants. So I will always have everything ready. And we did a little bit of change this year that got us a lot quicker in and out of the gate. But I will always have everything and more ready. And I learned that from him, that he's going to want something. So at least I know sometimes his mind a little bit better than he does at this point to get things rocking and rolling pretty quick. And that kind of paid off this time. We were a little bit quicker than before, although he tried to blame his vest breaking on me. But the next time he got it on, he's like, you guys fixed it. I was like, I didn't touch anything. You just convinced us that you broke something.
Yeah, so we pretty much did like the just like pack swapping. It's the best power move you can. If you're planning on doing a longer race like that. So she would fill my pack up before I even got there. And fortunately enough, I can do the whole thing on gels and liquid calories. I didn't take any solid food in the whole time. Mm-hmm. So I baggy everything up. I put my gels in it. I label them. Well, she labels them. My handwriting's terrible. But she labels them, and I already have everything accounted for, the amount of calories, the carbs I want to have. And then she just fills the vest, and it's ready to go when I come in. One comes off, one goes on, and that's it. We move on through.
Nice. Yeah, I crewed Laura Leidecker, who did awesome. She had a fantastic race this weekend. And crewing, I'm exhausted from crewing. So not only is it very tiring, I didn't sit the entire time. And so you also have to remember not to complain in front of your runner about how tired you are and about how your feet hurt. I had to think, like, whenever she's there, I need to not say, oh man, my feet really hurt, because her feet worse than mine.
Yeah.
Katie, what about you? Did you have a crew?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm just a solo. I'm just a mom of three that likes to run. Yeah, no, I just, no, if I eventually do longer distances, I mean, I have people that are offering, because I think people think I'm going to start doing it. So, yeah, I think eventually, but no, just for my 50Ks, I just, and I don't really stop at stations either. I just pretty much rely on what I have on my back.
Is the 50K distance your longest so to date so far?
So I did 44 miles. I did a 10-hour endurance for Pretzel City at the end of April. I was on track to do 100K in the 10 hours, and then I got dehydrated and started puking at 7.5 hours. So, you know, we live and learn through these ultras. Yeah. I'm still kind of learning. So I got to 44 miles. So that's my longest so far.
Nice.
How long have you been doing the ultra stuff?
Really just about 2 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm pretty new to it. Yeah.
What else do you have this summer?
So I'm doing a 3-hour endurance at Round Top Ski Resort in August. I'm doing Iron Masters 50K, which is in the Show State Forest in September. I'm doing Chicago Marathon in October. Couple little halves here and there. You know, I try and do something once a month, if not
twice. That race at Round Top, I mean, it's a masochist right there.
Yeah. It's 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. And I tend to, if there's a female like record, that's going to be
all right. I got to interrupt here because what she's Grace is the race director of that race. So
yeah.
That's what
she's trying, that's what she's trying to fit in.
I was trying to sneak that in. Sorry. It is a great race and everybody should do it. But the record, it's tough. You're going to love it because it's Erica Lubera has the record right now and she fought for that thing.
I honestly probably know that I can't hit it, but it's nice to have a goal, you know, and that tends to really push me. But I'm really excited for it. So thank you for doing that race. I can't wait.
It's a lot of fun. You have to, other good races on your list too. So nicely done.
Yeah. You know.
So I have a fun little story real quick. So I was lucky enough to pace Trevor during his 100K, right? Mm-hmm. And we were in the middle of it going down this nice descent, actually real smooth descent, no rocks or anything. And he twists his ankle and he falls to the ground. Says, "Oh God, this is it. This is the big one." He thought his race was over, and like I'm obviously hurt a little bit, but he got his butt up and he started moving, and he was able to finish the race still running with a swollen up ankle.
Yeah, I look like Fred Flintstone today.
Is it really bad?
Oh yeah.
It's all I hear about. All I hear about for the past 2 days. That's it.
Now, Hannah, do you run?
No, and that's the most common question. I can't even run a mile. Yep, I am never going to be a runner. It's all him, not me at all.
Do you do other sports, other fun stuff?
I grew up riding horses my whole life, basically. Mm. So that's kind of where I excelled at. So he can't ride a horse and I can't run. So it equals out for us pretty well.
What's that sport? I forget what it's called, where you ride horses and you run. Somebody listening knows.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. I know. I know what you're talking about.
What?
yeah. You ride to a certain point, and then the other person runs to that point, and then you switch, and then they ride, and you run. I forget what it's called, but there's.
Tess did one, didn't she? Long time ago.
I think so. I think Tess did. Yeah. There's a couple of people I know who. Like know about it or do it, but there's a name for it. It is riding horses, ride and tie. Thank you, Angie. It's called ride and tie.
Never heard of it. Yeah. There's probably a reason why I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, there's also burro racing where you run with a burro, all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Well, she lives with a jackass. Does that count?
Yep.
Yep. Oh my gosh.
All right, so here the big question to Trevor and Hannah. You guys are newlyweds. They just got married a few weeks ago. What gets the best part of your wall in your house, the wedding photo or the ex?
Not the wedding photos.
If it was up to me, the axe would be on the wall, yeah. But it's sitting over here in this corner. Well, that corner somewhere, right? Yeah, over there on the floor for now.
He has a trophy corner in my spare bedroom that he has now taken over. That's also the cat room, which is why we have a cat tree here. We're looking for another house, and I'll let him display things once we get another house set up. But yeah, no wedding photos yet anyways, but I'll let him display it if he wants to. I was there. He earned it. Whatever. It can hang in the house.
See, we need – now, I will tell you, I'm just going to throw this out there. Trevor, are you doing Eastern States?
I'm not. I'm signed up to do the solo. My buddy Joe, you know Joe Adams?
Yeah.
He was signed up to run it, and I was going to be his pacer and his crew and stuff. Mm-hmm. And until that was all said and done, I was like, you know what, man, how about I just sign up for the solo? We'll make an adventure. I'll just run the whole thing with you.
Okay. So, well, I mean,
if I get off the wait list.
Hannah, I'm just throwing out there, if you end up crewing somebody else, there is a bit of a showdown for best crew at Eastern States. And right now, yours truly has the championship belt for best crew. So
there's got to be different divisions, like the business up front crew and the party in the back crew.
Yeah, that's not fair.
I don't think Anna might be willing to do some of the fun stuff you're doing because she doesn't have time.
I don't have time.
You gotta get creative, you know. That's on you to get creative about it and figure out how it's done. Maybe you finish early and then you party it up afterwards. I don't know, you know? So I'm just saying there's space for awards for crew as well. And you are welcome to participate.
I've crewed Eastern States before, and I'll tell you, I wasn't up for a party in the middle of the night. Yeah. Not very happy camper.
No.
Not happy.
I was pretty tired.
Katie, as the 50K winner, you got a beautiful wedge as the reward. Where is that going to go?
So I have just a bunch of awards in my office here. My kids kind of fight over my awards, to be quite honest. This one's a little too big for them to fight over. They're all very tiny human beings, but I think it'll just be in my office. Yeah, I think that's like a neutral space for all of my running kids. Yeah, thanks.
Now, you have three kids. What are their ages?
I have 5-year-old twins and a 10-year-old.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Okay, what do they think about what you do? Have they figured it out yet? Do they understand it?
Yeah, they're actually like really proud of it. Sometimes I think they're sick of hearing about it, honestly, but they also get it in that, like, if they can't find me, like, they know I'm in the basement on the treadmill. So that's just like a thing that has been their whole, I've run my whole life. I just didn't get into ultras till 2 years ago, but no, I think they're really proud of me. Like, sometimes their teacher will, like, my older daughter, her teacher will email and be like, I heard you did great at a race this weekend. And the fact that she even like talks about it, because, you know, kids do it, right? But no, I think that they think I'm cool, actually, which is rare for kids to think about their mom, you know?
Yeah. Once they hit 12, they'll think you're evil. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, my 10-year-old actually put my twin to bed tonight because I was doing this. They're like team players, I'm telling you. Yeah.
That's great. This younger generation gives me hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had the same thing with our kids, you know, because they spend so much time in the running community with us. They'll go to school and same thing, tell their teachers about it, and we hear back about it. And it is nice to know that it's important enough for them to talk to people about, you know?
Yeah, and like get it. I feel like my kids get it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do they run?
My older one's getting into it. Yeah, she did her first 5K. She was 24th out of like 2,000 people. So she's she's getting there. Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
I knew this. It's a family affair. It's a team sport. I kept saying that this weekend. You know, people talk about running being an individual sport, and I guess Katie, for right now, maybe it is a little bit for you, but you know, for a lot of us out there who need some extra help, it's a team event and we're all figuring it out together. So, I mean, y'all just breezed through these aid stations. So you didn't get to see really how awesome these aid stations were. Eric, what did you think about the aid stations? They're pretty awesome.
Yeah, they always are over there. I mean, especially the first one that my wife was the captain of.
Yeah, you had some really powerhouse aid station captains out there putting out some cool stuff. So you had, your wife was aid station captain. We had the Trail Sisters South Central PA group, Trail Sisters Philly group. And then there were slushies out there at
Dry Run.
At Dry Run at Mike Lowe's.
Yeah, I would have loved having a slushie if I was pacing somebody that could take more than 30 seconds at the aid station.
Yeah.
That was
just next level. Coming into Dry Run and having slushies was,
yeah,
that was,
that's a new one. Kudos to Mike Lowe for that.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet. So it was a cool event if you were in the front or in the back of the pack. Trevor, I don't think I got a chance to ask you this. What is your favorite part of the course?
I think, honestly, it's not the first 20 miles, that's for sure. That's probably my least favorite. Honestly, I think the section from World's End to Canyon Vista mm-hmm. is my favorite. I really like that climb out of World's End.
Yeah.
I mean, both times I've ran it, I've been able to make power moves out of there and mm-hmm. find my place in the race. So, and then, I mean, the nature trail, that's just a fun place to run. It's really nice. It's cooler down in there because it's low.
Mm-hmm.
And you come back out, you know, with all the waterfalls and stuff right there, and then climb back up the Canyon Vista. Or, mm-hmm. yeah, Canyon Vista, yep.
Yep, absolutely. And I was just talking to somebody while I was out there. Trevor, have you done Laurel Highlands?
I haven't, no.
Okay. Somebody was asking me, and Katie, you probably haven't done Laurel Highlands yet because you're just brand new into it. Y'all can put this on your list. Somebody was asking me, and somebody asked in the chat before we started about the difference between Laurel Highlands and World's End. So I just wanted to answer that question really quick because a lot of it has to do with the course. And if I had to put together a list, I haven't completed World's End 100K, but I've gotten far enough. I got to Fern Rock. So I think I can speak on both of them. And I did complete the World's End 50K. So Laurel Highlands has a 50K and a 70 miler. So it's just a smidge longer. But if I had to make a list of the best races in Pennsylvania that everybody should run, both of those races would be on the list. So both races are fabulous. World's End comes first. That's June 1st. And it was June 1st this year. And then Laurel Highlands is this coming weekend. So they're back to back. A few people have done both. For me, my body couldn't take that, but that sounds amazing. And sometimes if you can't make it into one, then you can get into the other one. I'd say both of them are absolutely beautiful. The biggest difference, I think Laurel Highlands has a few more ferns and hemlocks and mossy, pretty areas. World's End is more technical and has a few more waterfalls and water features. So both of them just absolutely gorgeous. And Laurel Highlands is an older trail, I believe. It's more worn in and it has... Like every time there's a creek, anybody who's done World's End, if you just picture that course, but make it a little more worn in, so take out some of the rocks and then add in a little bridge where every creek crossing is so you don't get your little feetsies wet. And that's Laurel Highlands. So I think comparable for elevation. Laurel Highlands might be a little bit lower for elevation. You got a little bit more time to finish it. And World's End sells out in seconds and Laurel Highlands doesn't sell out quite as fast, at least not right now. So, so both really great races. If you're looking at one, definitely, check out the other. I had to throw that in there, Eric.
Yeah. Good call. Good call. So going back to these guys, you both won your respective races. I'm curious, I'll start with you, Katie. You finished in 6:12. Did you have a goal time in your head?
Yeah, so I saw that the female last year finished, the winner was 6:30, and I knew that the record was like 5:49. So honestly, I was hoping just, I knew I couldn't get the record. I knew that going into it. But I would have been happy around anywhere between 6 and 6:15. I did lose that 10 minutes by getting lost, which again is my own fault. But no, 6:12 was really kind of spot on where I wanted to be. I do think I left a little bit on the course. So I think if I do it again, I think I could have come in around 6 hours, but yeah, so that's kind of what I was thinking. Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And Trevor, this was your A race for the year. You trained hard for it. You've ran it before. You had to have a general number as your A goal for the day. And you knew that it was super, this course was super muddy this year. Everybody that ran it knew that. Played a little role, I guess, in people's times. But your 11:39, is that right where about you thought you'd be?
Yeah, pretty much right around sub 12, anything sub 12. I knew it would take somebody else running as hard, you know, equally as hard to beat that time, or to get, you know, the list is really small of people that have gone sub 12. So if you can get around sub 12, you're definitely going to compete at the front.
Yeah. Nice. What do you have besides Eastern States, Trevor? Anything?
Nothing. Nope. I got nothing. Maybe Black Forest. I heard you said you might sign up for it. So maybe we can compete. Maybe we could compete.
Maybe. We'll see.
I think that sounds like so much fun. You know what? If you're not going to compete, Eric, then maybe I will. So
maybe we'll
see if I beat Trevor.
Yeah. No, but honestly, I'd like to do, you were talking about Laurel Highlands. I'd love to do Laurel Highlands, but I don't even know how you get into the race. Like, is it on ultra signups now? Didn't there used to be like a paper form or something you had to do? You had to send?
Used to be. Registration is online now.
Oh, so you can just go right on ultra and, okay. Yep.
I don't remember if it's run sign up or ultra sign up, honestly, but it's one of those. Yeah. Yeah. Regular registration.
Yeah. Cause I would like to give that one a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's the back-to-back double. A few people have done it and that just hurts my heart and my vacation time.
Yeah. There's no possible way that's ever going to happen. It took me a long enough time to recover just to get back to Eastern States when I did World's End in Eastern States.
Yeah. So let's hear about recovery. Katie, how are you feeling?
I did 7 miles yesterday and 11 today. I don't know. I don't get that sore. It's really, really weird. And you know, I'm no spring chicken. I'm 42 years old. I mean, I have three kids. I just don't take breaks. So it seems to work for my body. You know, the first couple miles yesterday, I felt it a little bit, but once I got moving, if I had more time yesterday, I probably would have done about 10, but then yeah, nice. I did 11 and I feel literally completely normal. Yeah. Now I didn't do 100K. So I, you know, 50K is a big, big difference, but yeah, I don't know. I'm weird.
You're totally not. It's just that everybody's different, right?
I'm glad.
Everybody's different. Everybody's got something that works for them. That's fabulous. Yeah. And then Trevor, how are you feeling?
Did you do
a 10-mile run today?
What's that?
Did you do a 10-mile run today?
No, there's no run. I did a mile walk just a little bit ago with the dogs and stuff.
Yeah.
But if it wasn't for my foot being swelled up, I mean, I'm not too bad of shape. I mean, I got the normal, like the body aches and everything's kind of, you know, swell. Everything's kind of swelled up, but the foot's really, really big right now. So it was hard to even squeeze a shoe on just to go for the walk with the dogs. But I mean, other than that, I think like Katie was saying, I mean, I was eating so much because I haven't been doing it for a really long time, but the 4 years I've done it now, it seems like if you can maintain and eat the whole way through the finish, even if you're a mile away and that time comes up when you're supposed to eat and you just do it, you recover so much better. So I really think with this time around, like the nutrition and stuff really played a factor in like how good I actually do feel. Like today I probably could have went for a run if it wasn't for the foot, but mentally I don't want to run. I don't even want to think about running right now. I put too much into the block and I don't want to run, so it's probably not going to happen this week, even if I was okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you need a little bit of a break. Now, Hannah, how are you recovering? Do you have are you rested now? Have you rehydrated and all of those things? It's hard. Hard to find time to eat and to use the bathroom when you're crewing. You don't want to miss your runner.
Yep. So yeah, that's Marisa was yelling at me the whole time because she was housing through bottles of water. And I was like, I don't eat or drink. Just a heads up. If you need something, let me know because I don't want to eat or drink. I don't want to go to the bathroom. It's mm-hmm. And my feet hurt really bad after this one, but I did complain after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was walking just like him because I wore the wrong shoes. So my feet were killing me too. But it's more of a mental game because he's my husband. It's so like you worry the entire almost 12 hours and the mm-hmm. day before is anticipation. And this mm-hmm. was a lot of a pressure race for us. So like every time I crew, it's a mental thing. Like I need a day to shut down my mind and not have to think. And he bounces back a lot quicker than I do. So I'm like, I need a break from everything. But I go back to work tomorrow, so I'm all rested. I'm ready to go back.
Nice. That's fabulous. It really is a mental, emotional game. I was a wreck all day trying to figure mm-hmm. it out. My runner, her mom was going to meet us at the finish line. And so I'm also like driving to get reception to try to text her mom to say when she's going to be there so that her mom can bring her son so he can run across the finish line. And he's young, you know, so they want to have the young one there all the day. And so I'm doing all of those things. And then I know her mom, she's just this awesome, awesome woman. And I made her adopt me. And she said, how do you know where Laura is out on the course? How do you know where she is? I'm like, honestly, I don't. I get done at one aid station. I go straight to the next one. I get everything set up and then I stand there and I wait and I just watch. And that's it. Like that's crewing.
That's it. You got it. It's you have no idea the whole entire time. So you don't know if it's 5 minutes or 2 hours. You don't know what happens mm-hmm. out there. So it's you have to stay alert all those hours. And that's why it's mentally tough. Yeah. You have no idea.
Yep. Stand there, talk to people a little bit, and mm-hmm. 2 hours fly by. The next thing you know, your runner's there. You got to get them in and out as quickly as possible and then move on to the next aid station. I did. It was at World's End, Aid Station 4. We saw some runners come in and their crews were not there. And I was like, oh, man.
Nope, I don't want that juju. I don't want that, ever want that to happen. That's why I'm an hour early. I'm always the first parking spot. I'm there and ready every time. I'm not getting that juju on me. I'm not being the reason he loses a race anytime.
Now, do you pack? So you don't eat or drink the whole time, or do you pack a lunch? What do you do?
It all depends. This one, I felt this one was quicker because he was way ahead of his schedule that I didn't get time. I tried to like do some like protein drinks in between, but honestly, just going from 5 to 5, like 5 in the morning, it wasn't too bad that I can survive. It's when it's the 100 milers that I'm going over 24 hours with it that I need mm-hmm. to eat, but I don't need to eat mm-hmm. much or drink much during it unless I feel a little funky, but that's that.
Yeah. I think for us crew too, it's, you know, you think, oh, well, my runner has food mm-hmm. packed, so I can just kind of nibble on some of their stuff and be okay. Yeah. But their food is terrible. It's a bad idea. Like they have pretzels and gels, and it does not sustain you as crew. Mm-hmm. You really need like a sandwich or like you need meals packed and ready to go so you don't have to leave in the middle of the race. Mm-hmm. I think some people think they can sneak in like, oh, I'll stop at a gas station real quick or something. And you really don't have time.
Yeah. Ben Mazur, he stops at bars and has beers and stuff. Crewing ain't easy.
That's the way to do it.
I want to go back to nutrition real quick, Trevor, mm-hmm. just because you're one of the few that can fuel on straight gels the whole ultra, which is long. In my opinion, it's a long time. My stomach gets tired of the same flavor and stuff like that. But can you give us how often do you take in a gel, or did you take in a gel during the race?
Every 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
Yeah, I had 37 gels and 12 bottles.
A lot of people think that and I'm making an assumption here because I kind of would feel that way. A lot of people think that maybe half hour every 45 minutes is plenty. Mm-hmm. But that's I'm glad you said that it was every 20 because it's probably a lot more than what most people think. Katie, yeah. What about you? You might not have been on gels the whole time, but is it that often also?
Same, every 20 minutes. I would reward myself like at 3 hours, I rewarded myself with like a scratch like bar. But really pretty much every 20 minutes it was a gel or one of the applesauce things. Yeah. That's so funny that I thought I was just doing more than normal. Again, I don't know. Like I just literally came into all this ultra running, like very intuitive, kind of taught myself, just kept doing it and seeing what works for me. And the 20 minutes really does seem to work for my body type. So that's interesting that Trevor does the thing.
Well, yeah. plus you're taking in the spring awesome sauce gels. Who knows how many calories are in that, right? Okay, we'll all go there.
So good. So good.
Now, I was talking to somebody about this. We were talking about actually running the marathon distance. Oh, I was talking to Shannon. That's what it was. As we were smoking our candy cigarettes. And we were talking about the marathon distance, and there's so many people who will run a marathon, a fast marathon, on one or two gels. And we were talking about, like, yes, you can do that, but you don't know if you can run even faster if you have three or four gels in the marathon distance, unless you start trying out some stuff. And I think you start off with, at least in ultra kind of trail running, that stuff, you know, it's much better to fuel on time than miles. So you start off with 45 minutes, but then try, can I do it more often? Can I do 30 minutes? And do I have a better race? And then to your point, Katie, am I recovering faster is another piece of it. I was talking to somebody at Fern Rock Aid Station and they're like, oh, I don't need any food. I'm fine. It was a pacer. And I'm like, I mean, okay. But, and I'm sure you can make it. You're probably are going to be fine. But how do you want to feel tomorrow? And, you know, that fueling is not just for that moment, but it's also how quickly can you recover because you got another race around the corner and you want to perform well at that one too.
So you're saying I should get an IV of a gel and just keep it going into my bloodstream?
That's right.
I'm doing it.
Yep. I think it was Sabrina Stanley. She had just said, you just nibble on stuff. Like you said, Katie, have something in your hand. And this is one of the downfalls, and I'm going to ask both of you this, poles or no poles. One of the downfalls of using poles is that your hands now have poles in them and not food or water. So to both of you, poles or no poles?
Trevor, no poles.
No poles. Yeah. Katie, no poles.
But I was told for the round top race, I should use poles.
I agree with that. For the downhill.
Oh, so.
Just send it. Just go.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know yet. Yeah.
I know some very strong mountain runners who did both. Like they started off with no poles and then grabbed them. Daryl Lehman, who's a very strong mountain runner. He actually used poles, and it was primarily for the downhill. The downhill's worse than the uphill. Okay. Yeah. These guys bring them, and if you don't use them, you don't use them. Because you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. So eat all the food. That's the biggest lesson. Now, because both of you are here, I want to give you a chance to ask each other questions. So let's start up. Hannah. Do you have a question for Katie or for Trevor, but mostly for Katie?
Oh, I don't have a question for Trevor. I don't already know. Oh, no. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's Trevor and you's biggest difference. You said you eat real food during it. Do you just gels or just real food, too? Like, can you nibble on aid station stuff? Because he absolutely cannot. I tried to force feed real food into this time, and that was not happening at all.
Yeah, I don't either.
Okay.
But I also just don't like to stop. I don't know. I feel bad not even stopping at the aid stations because people reached out to me yesterday and was like, I saw you or you blew through or whatever. And like, I didn't say hi to anybody. Like I get such a zone. Like it's, And like, I even saw people on the course that I knew that were doing the 100K and like that I know like pretty well. And like, mm-hmm. I just said hi, I blew by them. And you know, I'm a very nice person in general, but like when I am just, and I don't want to stop and eat. I don't want to stop and talk to anybody. Like, so no, I really am not a big, even real food person. Like I am just like trying to be a machine and I always have a goal in mind. Yeah. I don't know.
No one is mad about that. He barely gets three words. He gives me a kiss and runs off. I don't get any words. I get, how do you feel? And he maybe answers. So you are not offending anyone. We know the drill. Trevor ignores his Pacers half the time, I think, is what I hear, and won't even answer them and is rude. So you are perfectly fine not stopping. You are winning the race. You're fine.
So much better. I'm serious.
You're fine. Nobody takes it personally. I promise.
Thank you.
This is the business up front of the whole point of the mullet, you know, is the business up front.
Thank you guys. Yeah. That makes it go a lot better.
I 100% agree with that. And I don't know about you, Hannah, but even as crew, I mean, there were a lot of people and I had Jordan stop me at one point and he's like, hey, I was saying hi to you and you were just in a zone. And I was like, oh yeah, I am not paying attention. I'm getting my stuff set up. I'm looking for my person. And that's pretty much everything. Even going up to one of the aid stations, who was up? Oh, Jason was up. He was running it. It was Don. Don was up there crewing and I had headphones on and I'm like playing techno music. Like I'm in a zone when I'm crewing and like I see people and I feel bad because I'm not saying hi to them, but I got to get my stuff ready. Like, there's work to be done, Katie. It's not just running. Like, I think as crew, we mean business.
Yeah, I have no idea if people will talk to me. I know the other people that helped me crew, I had Mark and his girlfriend and Marisa, and we're all just on the zone, but we're also like the only people there, except for like the aid station people most of the time. And no one's going to bug us when we're doing like screaming things at him, saying, what do you want? Get out of here. No one has time, but I apologize if I ignored anyone, but I didn't mean to.
Yeah.
But I'm just so focused on him. You can't tell me anything. That's why I suck so bad at pictures and videos, because I'd rather not take a picture and video and I'd rather get him in and out. I know he hates me for it later, but I'm trying to do my best here.
Yeah. I will say this. I have assigned people, and this is helpful too, to kind of keep people, give them a task to do. I have assigned people to taking photos of my person who's running.
Yeah. Mark was doing that for me this time. I usually have people to do that. This was a little bit more high pressure that I didn't worry about it as much, but Mark was taking photos for me. So we got a few. I just missed the finish video an idiot because I was too excited to come again, but that was my bad. So if anyone has that video, I'd be very grateful and you'd be less mad at me probably.
Somebody's probably got it. Okay, now let's switch it up. So Trevor, what questions do you have for Katie?
Do you think you're going to do the 100K now?
Probably. I don't. Yeah, probably.
You should. What you need to do is just go up and it's kind of tough to do it if you do it solo all the time, but try and preview more of the course. I don't know how far away it is for you, but go up and preview some of that second half of the course. And then I love the course so much. I mean, that's why it was a big deal to me. I get the jitters every time I go back there, even just for a training run, like the butterflies, even just training. It's such an amazing place.
Yeah, that's good advice. Thank you.
Absolutely. Katie, that gave you some time to think. What questions do you have for Trevor?
Yeah, I would love to know, Trevor, if like you started kind of doing smaller ultras like me and then thought that you had it in you to keep going the distance and if you've done anything past 100K.
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I ever did was Greenwood Trail Challenge, so 13 miles. And after I finished it, I said I'd never run another trail race again. And I ended up, got peer pressured into running the Allegheny Front 50K. And after that, I said I would never, ever, was never running an ultra or trail race again. That was enough for me. And what we ended up doing is a group of us, a few months later, went to 1,000 steps. I don't know if you've ever heard of 1,000 steps on the Standing Stone. We ran from 1,000 steps to Greenwood, which was 29 miles. And I don't know if it was just being out there with a bunch of friends and I don't know, the magic happened that day or whatever, but it got the juices flowing, thinking about running Eastern States and doing that, you know, the Triple Crown deal. And I ended up just driving up to Eastern States in 2021 to watch Keith finish Quarry. And just seeing those people come in, like the very, like the 35-hour people, like right on the brink, the golden hour, it just inspired me so much. I knew I wanted to run and see what they were experiencing. And so that's what I did. I signed up for the Triple Crown and just kind of went for it. I did Heiner 50, and then World's End was my first 100K, and then Eastern States was my first 100-miler.
Wow.
But I did, I've done 300-milers. I've only ever finished two of them, but I've tried three of them. I went out to Arizona to run Javelina and ended up dropping in mile 63.
That one looks fun. It's a big party, right?
Oh, it was so fun, but it beat me up. I was trying to run outside of my elements for too long. Just wasn't properly trained for it. It's really hard to train for those races here.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a different world.
I do want to point out, I don't want to get into it here, but you can reach out to Trevor if you want to talk to him. His background comes from, had a pretty big weight loss journey that he went through when he got into running, or running helped him drop that weight. So, you know, we all have our reasons of why we get into running and why we love it, but pretty cool story.
Yeah. When I started running, I was 250 pounds the first time I walked out the door. 4 years ago, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. And I think especially for people who've had that journey and then can come out the other side and say, hey, I'm also fueling well for these long runs.
Right, yeah. And it honestly took me a while to get to that point to understand that I needed to do this to be better. And the weight and the number on the scale wasn't what mattered for performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man. So we'll have to have both of you on again, just to hear your whole backstory, because there's so much happening. Now, when we get close to the end of the show, we always like to ask what is happening this weekend for you. What plans do you have? Does not have to be running related. So, Katie, what do you have happening this weekend?
Oh, my gosh. So I am going to my daughter's soccer game. I mean, that's, you know.
That's great.
Life of a mom, and obviously lots of running. I run every single day, so I'll probably try to get in a couple trail runs, of course, as well. Yeah,
that sounds fun. And another, I'm sneaking in one more question that I'll also kick over to you, Trevor. But with your big, awesome finish, your win at World's End 50K, anybody out there you want to thank or want to do a shout out to?
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will say, Jen and Ryan, who do, they do Iron Masters and Buckridge Burn, like they believe in me, and Travis Soprano believes in me, and a couple of the guys that ran 100K, like even like at the pre-race meeting, they were like, you know, you got this, you're going for this and blah, blah. And, you know, I mean, yes, of course I go in thinking I want it, but like, I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know if I can do it. So just to even have support from like the other running community, Jim Blanford and Andy Steyer, like just knowing all of these guys and like it just the fact that these people who have been running for a long time and like have faith in me, it really does like mean everything to me. Like truly. I thank them all the time. So there's the whole running community. It's been a whole amazing experience.
Ah, all the feels. Absolutely. Yeah. Love it. Trevor, over to you. And Hannah, so the both of you. But Trevor, you go first. What do you have happening this weekend? What's going on?
So we live in Anvil, and there's a, like, it's called Historic Anvil Day, a bunch of food trucks and stuff, and then they run the local 5K at the Anvil Cleona High School. So I'm going to go to that. She's unfortunately going to have to work, but I'm going to go eat some food truck food and watch a 5K.
Nice.
Yep, I work.
Do you have a favorite food truck?
Do you?
I don't know. I mean, as long as they're serving brisket or pulled pork or something like that, I'm all for it.
Okay. My favorite is Walk Runner. I follow them around. They're pretty great.
We like to follow the coffee trucks around.
There we go.
Yeah.
Hannah, over to you. What do you're working this weekend?
I work all weekend.
Okay.
So he'll have his time alone away from me for a little bit.
Yeah, that's all right. So Hannah, anybody you want to shout out to, somebody you want to thank?
Oh yeah, my crew was great this time. This was a different crew. I usually have some friends crew with us. So these are Trevor's friends and now they're my friends, which I'm very grateful for. So Mark Lauber, his girlfriend Ashley, and Marisa, of course, they helped me the whole time. And it was really great to have a different perspective because we usually have friends that don't run. And these guys running were, they're all both ultra runners. So they were able to, you know, reassure me a little bit more and, you know, understood a lot of it too. So that was helpful to have. So they were awesome. And all of our friends there, the community is so fantastic at this race. Like everyone is so awesome. And so, you know, not a mean person out there. It's fantastic. So I just want to thank my crew and Trevor for running it, I guess. Thank you.
Fabulous. All right. And Trevor, same question over to you. Anybody you want to thank some shout outs? You should probably thank Hannah. I just want
to definitely her. I mean, I put a lot of trust into her and I mean, she makes it, if it's not for her, it doesn't usually go around. I mean, not only just seeing her at the aid stations, but making sure she has everything there for me. And Mark was great. He was there to help navigate. And then Marisa was there to help keep her company and cheer when I was coming in. I mean, she scared the crap out of Eric and I coming into Brunnerdale. We didn't even know how close we were. And she started screaming and yelling. I was like, oh, I guess the aid station's right here.
She's my lookout. She's a lookout. She's always 30 minutes ahead. I was like, he's not coming in yet. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to go check. So she's always my screamer to tell me when he's coming.
Nice.
And then, yeah, I mean, thanking Eric for joining me and Josh for joining me. And then we stayed. We shared a hotel or an Airbnb with Joe, his wife, his kids, his in-laws, and Adam Weibel was there. Pretty much everybody that had the faith in me because I was in my own head and even though I had the training, it's really hard sometimes to believe in yourself to go out and do something like that. Cause you know, there can only be one person that wins, crosses the finish line first.
Yep. That's right. It just goes to one person each year and you get to enjoy it. And then we're headed to the next adventure. Eric, what are you doing this weekend?
I don't know. Running something. I don't have any big plans. It's kind of a first weekend. We have nothing, so I'll probably run.
Mm-hmm. Yo,
what are you doing, Grace?
Jason has one of his photos got into a juried exhibition, so it's fun. So we are headed to look at some beautiful photos, and then that's all I have scheduled. I kind of don't have anything planned for a while, and it's lovely, and I can't wait just to see what pops up. We might, if the weather's good, we might do some mountain biking. So we'll see.
Well, like you said, Laurel Highlands is this coming weekend. Big week, right. Another ultra weekend. Maybe we'll have somebody from there on this coming week. You never know.
Yeah.
Other than that, thank you, Katie. And thank you, Trevor and Hannah. We appreciate your time coming on and huge congrats on what you guys did this weekend. I hope you enjoy your week of recovery and looking at your rewards.
Thanks.
Congratulations. Great work.
Thanks,
really appreciate it. Thanks everybody for tuning in. You can tune in again every Monday at 7:30 at night. We are live on the YouTubes and on the Facebook Live. And for all the algorithm monsters out there, please feed us some likes and some comments and some shares and rate us on all of the podcast things. And we have Smittens. We have Smittens.
Grace has the Smittens. Grace has the socks.
Yep.
If you want a pair, contact Grace. She will get them to you.
Yep.
So tell her that you want a pair.
Yep. Tell me that. And then Eric has his fund that is going out to awesome runners who might need a little support. And check out the Idiot Runners Facebook page for more information about
idiotrunner.betterworld.org.
Yes. And you can help out another runner, which is pretty cool.
Yep.
I need too much help, Eric. I don't know that there is no amount of money that can help all this that's happening.
Mm-hmm. All right. Have a good night, guys. Thanks again.
Thanks, everybody. See you. Bye.